This is Holiday Readings and Remembrances, reflections on the season as told by members of the Northern Michigan University and surrounding communities. I'm Stan Wright, your host. Today we hear from Maggie Morgan from Marquette about a remembrance of holidays past.
Before I moved to the UP, I lived in Missouri for 20 years, and for most of that time I worked for the same company. And it was a fairly good-sized operation. We had about 900 people at the home office. And despite that, despite the fact that it was a pretty big company, we did have about 900 people at the home office, it was pretty close-knit. There was kind of a family feel about it, and we all kind of kept in touch with one another. And one of the cool aspects of that was that we stayed in close touch with most of our retirees. They didn't just vanish from our lives when they punched out for the last time. They'd come to all the big company events, and they'd come to other people's retirement parties, and some of them would come out a couple times a month and have lunch in the company cafeteria and visit with their friends and stuff. Well, one aspect of keeping in touch with our retirees was that for most of the 20 years that I worked there, there were a group of us that every December would go Christmas caroling to retirees. And we'd pick maybe six or eight people and get a list of addresses and just pick an evening and take off. And we'd spend 2 or 3 hours driving around and caroling retirees and singing for them. And then we'd go back to the home office and have hot chocolate and visit a while, maybe sing a little bit more. And it was just a lovely evening. And in the first few years that we did that, part of the logistics of it was we would get our list of retiree addresses from the company's retiree mailing database. And we'd pick out six or eight people and kind of map out a little route. And the first several years we did it, it was a surprise for the retirees. We didn't call ahead. We just show up at their house and start singing. Now, in later years, we started calling ahead because not that anybody ever complained about the surprise, but we found that we were spending a lot of time going to people's houses who weren't home because a lot of them were still pretty active. So in later years, we called ahead. But in the first couple of years, it was always a surprise. Well, the first year I went caroling with the group, the first couple that we were going to was an old couple that had worked at the company for many years. Their names were Velton and Esther Caldwell, and they had been retired for many years by the time I came to work there, but lots of people still remembered them, and they worked close to the home office, so that was going to be our first stop. So on the night we went caroling, we drove up to the appointed address, and we all piled out of the cars, and we bunched up on the front sidewalk, and one of the guys hopped up on the porch and rang the bell, and the door opened, and this just beautiful little white-haired, pink-cheeked, sweet-looking little old lady peeps out the door at us, and we ripped into our first carol, and her little old face just lit up like a Christmas candle. And it was everything you love about Christmas and everything you love about Christmas carols and everything you love about singing. It was just a great moment. But in the back of our group, I heard my friend Connie, who worked at the credit union and knew all the retirees, I hear Connie say in this loud, insistent, hissing whisper, "That's not Esther." Well, to our credit, we did not all stop singing and start laughing, although there was kind of some snorting and chuckling that went through the group. And so we finished our song, and then we all kind of discreetly looked at our address, and that was the house that matched the address that we'd been given. But everybody that had worked with the Caldwells agreed with Connie that that was, in fact, not Esther. But we all knew without even a moment's discussion that we could not look at this beaming, happy, sweet little old lady and go, "Oh, sorry, not you," and get in the cars and drive off. So we sang our whole riff of Christmas carols for her. We wished her a rousing Merry Christmas. We piled into the cars and vanished into the night. Well, the next day we found out that the Caldwell's address had been wrong in the company mailing data for years, probably ever since they retired, but because they'd lived in the same house for decades and they'd had the same mail carrier forever, it's like they always got their company mail, so it never got corrected. So we fixed that for them. We caroled them the next year. That all worked out. And we continued to do the retiree Christmas caroling for pretty much the rest of the 20 years that I worked there. And, you know, sang for many, many retirees and probably literally hundreds of Christmas carols. But of all of those caroling adventures, that's the one that I remember the most, just because that little old lady never had a clue who we were or why we had fetched up on her front lawn. We never, any of us, had a clue who she was. So for me, when I think of Christmas caroling, I think of that because just for the sheer random joyful surprise of it, for me, that was the Christmassiest one of all.
Holiday Readings and Remembrances is a Public Radio 90 production produced at the WNMU-FM studios in the Learning Resources Center on the campus of Northern Michigan University. I'm your producer and host, Stan Wright. Thanks for listening, and happy holidays.